The 100 Years War, the Du Guesclin period, desperation of Charles of Navarre. With his French domains facing extinction at the hands of French King Charles V, and his Navarrese kingdom threatened with invasion from Castile, the King of Navarre was now in a desperate position. The military forces at his disposal were divided between Normandy and the Ebro frontier of Navarre, and were too weak to defend either. Charles's nephew, Charlotte de Beaumont, was sent into Gascony in April to recruit men amongst the Routier companies, the companies of Boadicat d'Albert and several other Gascon captains, together with a handful of English and Aragonese, were hired for service on the Ebro front during the summer. Artillery was mounted on the walls of the principal towns and castles, the first time they had been seen in Navarre. Emissaries were sent in all directions with appeals for their help to Aragon, to the Count of Foix, to the English council at Bordeaux. These were all powers with a natural interest in containing the overwhelming strength of Castile in the Iberian Peninsula. None of them was strong enough to save Navarre on its own. At the beginning of May 1378, Henry of Trastamara was reported to be marching north with substantial forces and a powerful siege train to join the Castilian troops already gathered on the Navarrese march. The King of Navarre and his counselors fled over the Pyrenees to the small town of Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port, where his dominions met those of the King of England and the Count of Foix. Here, at least, he was safe from capture and better able to follow the complex diplomatic traffic which he had set in motion. Charles of Navarre's latest emissary to the English court, the Lord of Garrow, arrived at Westminster in March of 1378. Since he had left Navarre before the arrest of Jacques de la Rue, his instructions were already out of date. But even without instructions, it must have been clear to him that unless the English intervened quickly, his master's domains in Normandy would be lost. The English council knew that as well. They drove a hard bargain. They offered to send supplies and reinforcements urgently to Cherbourg and to lend the King of Navarre 25,000 francs, which is £4,200, to help him confront his enemies in Spain. They were also willing, although they would take longer, to send an army of 1,000 men to Gascony to be placed at Charles's disposal for up to 4 months if the Castilians invaded Navarre. But they were not prepared to depend on the King of Navarre's goodwill. The price of their help was the immediate transfer of Cherbourg to English control for a period of 3 years, together with any other Navarrese fortresses in Normandy that survived the French onslaught. Cherbourg was a great prize. The walls of the city had been largely rebuilt in the 1360s. The immense wedge-shaped castle dominated the harbor from the eastern end of the town with its great keep. 12 towers of the curtain wall, the lines of ditches and cavernous stores, all just 70 miles by sea from England. It was one of the strongest places in western France. The Lord of Garrow appears to have agreed with the English proposals, but he could not commit Charles of Navarre without his authority. In about mid-April, as the Duke of Burgundy's officers negotiated the surrender of Evreux, Brontille, and Bernay, the Lord of Garrow left England for Navarre on a fast-armed merchant of Bayonne. It shortly became clear that there was no time to wait for the King of Navarre's answer, so the English council resolved to take control of Cherbourg no matter what. In this, they were abetted with the Navarrese captain of the town, Raymond d'Esparza. His garrison was too small to defend the place against a large French army, even with the aid of refugees flooding in from other Navarrese castles in Normandy. His stores were also perilously low. At the end of April 1378, shortly after Lord Garrow's departure, Raymond sent one of his lieutenants to England to plead for help. The council were only too pleased to take the opportunity of putting their own troops in the Cherbourg. Sir William Farrington, a knight of the royal household, and Garcia Arnon de Sales, the former English ambassador to Navarre, were sent to the town on a fact-finding mission and returned, accompanied by Raymond himself, towards the end of May. While Raymond toured the apothecaries of London, buying sulfur and saltpeter to replenish his stores of gunpowder, Farrington and Garcia Arnon set about recruiting troops. On June 1, 1378, a great council gathered at Westminster. The situation before them was very different from the one which they had contemplated with their plans when they were first laid out at the beginning of the year. The Earl of Arundel's fleet was still idle in its ports. The Duke of Lancaster's great expedition had been delayed by a shortage of shipping. The admirals had been able to requisition a total of 211 transports, which were scattered between half a dozen ports from Norfolk to Devon. but it was not enough to carry John of Gaunt's army to Brest with its horses. Some of the ships still without crews, as press gangs struggle to fill their quotas with the reluctant youth of the East Coast ports. There is no record of the deliberation of the council, but the outcome is known from the stream of instructions which issued from the king's ministers as soon as it dispersed. The Earl of Arundel was ordered to proceed with his operation against the French fleet immediately, and then take possession of Cherbourg. Troops to reinforce the town and the castle would follow as soon as stores could be collected to support them. The landing at Brest was cancelled. Gaunt's great expedition was redirected against Saint-Malo in northern Brittany, an operation which would require fewer horses and therefore less shipping space. At the same time, the council proposed to try and occupy another barbican further north, namely the small but strategically valuable fortified harbor of Le Courtrai at the mouth of the Somme in Picardy. Le Courtrai was attacked by Sir Hugh Calverley with a raiding force from Calais, probably in conjunction with part of the English fleet. Sir John Neville was instructed to proceed urgently to Bordeaux to take up his lieutenancy and charge to support the defenses of Navarre against Henry of Trastamara. Since only 34 ships could be spared to carry Neville's men with their horses and stores, his retinue had to be reduced by half strength originally planned. Somehow or another, he would have to find 1,000 men to send to defend Navarre when he got there. So quite a bit of wheeling and dealing at the English court here in this desperation. So next time we'll see how this kind of pans out. The English do indeed get in the position before the French show up. Now the sources for this, The Hundred Years' War, The Chronicles by Froissart, The Hundred Years' War by Perrois, The Hundred Years' War by Nylans, and The Hundred Years' War, The House Divided, Volume 3, by Sumption. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.